I took my life in my hands and tottered to the shops yesterday. To my horror and disappointment, the shops, and indeed the streets, were full of mask-wearing Muppets. I think I was the only person not wearing a mask in the shops. And in the shops, everything took an age. A shopper and assistant struggled to make themselves heard through their masks. The Muppets have become mumblies. I found myself feeling angry at these zombies. What the hell has happened to people? I'm appalled at how easily people have become so compliant and have accepted the government's lies. Not a few of these people were wearing gloves. Damn it, I saw two people wearing masks and gloves matching colours. I fear they probably thought they looked cool and well-dressed. It won't be long before they're wearing masks everywhere they go, including just walking about in the streets. And then, when they're sufficiently cowed, the government will order them to wear masks indoors. And they will. Some will sleep in them, and doubtless some will die in them. One shop had security guards standing outside on the pavement, checking the temperature of would-be shoppers. The inside of the shop was, not surprisingly, virtually empty, as people looked, stared, blinked, swallowed, and toddled off to spend their money elsewhere. That was at least a comfort. Another shop, bless the proprietor, had a notice up telling customers that it was up to them whether or not they wore a mask. I was so delighted that I bought a couple of things I didn't really want and certainly didn't need. I drank a coffee in a branch of a chain of coffee shops. I had no mask, of course. There was no discernible social distancing. There were a dozen people in there, double the allotted allowance in a house. No one sanitised the loo after each customer, and no one that I saw dropped down dead. As customers finished their drinks and their cakes, however, they dutifully replaced their masks. They had flirted with normality, but abandoned it. I went into an almost empty church to pray. A man behind a glass screen demanded my name, my address, and my phone number to enter a church. I felt like a stranger on enemy ground. It was a terrible feeling. They've even taken our religion away from us. Of course they have. That was always part of the plan. We're fighting a spiritual war too. Most of the mask wearers had absolutely no idea of anything. Some kept their masks in their pockets or bags and pulled them out, creased and grubby, to put on whenever they entered a shop. Nearly everyone constantly fiddled with their masks, not realising, perhaps, that touching a mask is something you should not do. The incidence of throat and chest infections is going to rocket. I wonder how many people will be killed by their masks. We'll never know. I was appalled, shocked, upset, and discombobulated by the number of people obediently wearing their masks. Some folk were even doing the social distancing dance on the pavement. They should do that silly shuffle in that wretched TV dancing programme which the BBC funds with taxpayers' money. I still believe we will win this war, but you and I are going to have to fight hard. Videos, radio shows and demonstrations are a splendid beginning, but that's all they are, a beginning. All are magnificent, but they're not going to stop the United Nations, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation from stealing your life and your soul. We need more people in the resistance. When I use the word war, it's no exaggeration, it's exactly what I mean. Our governments want to destroy us mentally. Their aim is to make us so weakened and so frightened that we'll do everything they want. Because, never forget, everything that's happened was meant to happen. No one with more than a quarter of a brain could possibly believe that the so-called COVID crisis is a real crisis. The damned virus now kills fewer people than just about any major illness you can think of. The number of people being killed by the lockdowns, the masks, the social distancing, and all the rest of the garbage is far, far greater than the number being killed by a bug, which was never any more of a threat than the flu bug. This isn't a crisis, it's a crime, and most people are sleepwalking to their own destruction and to our destruction too. The corruption involved in this scam is unbelievable. The evidence is all in plain sight. I'm preparing two books at the moment. One's a collection of all the transcripts of all the videos I've made between the end of April and the beginning of September. The same book is an analysis of the history of Agenda 21, a word-by-word assessment of how the United Nations and a group of billionaires have schemed to take over the world. Copies of all my notes are stored in safe places, and if anything happens to me, these books will still appear. When they're ready, I promise to sell both books as cheaply as I possibly can, and I'll put a note on my website when they're ready. It all sounds crazy, doesn't it? A takeover of the world? Total control of our bodies, our minds and our souls? Sounds mad. But that's precisely what they've planned. And it's precisely what they're doing. It seems unbelievable, but it's true. And I'll show precisely how it was carefully planned, how it's been managed and where it's going, unless we stop it. Did you know that the Belarusian president has claimed that the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank had offered him a massive bribe to impose COVID restrictions? The BBC seems to have forgotten to include this in its news bulletins, and I haven't seen it in The Guardian. So, courtesy of Armstrong Economics, which broke the story, I'll tell you what happened. The Belarusian president, Alexander Lukashenko, has claimed that the World Bank and the IMF offered him $940 million in special COVID aid relief if he would force his people to wear masks, impose a police state, crash the economy, impose an extreme lockdown, and also impose very strict curfews. The president has refused to have said no to the offer and said that he wouldn't put his people above the needs of the IMF and the World Bank. Personally, I have no doubt that this is true. This isn't the only evil thing the IMF and the World Bank are accused of. They're also reported to be bailing out failing airlines with billions of dollars of our money. In exchange, they're said to be forcing airline bosses to force all passengers, including small children, to wear masks. Remember those terrible pictures you've seen of tiny tots being forced to wear masks? Well, maybe now we know who was behind it and why pilots and crew behaved so strangely, so appallingly. It's the banks which want us all faceless. It was Goldman Sachs which told the World Health Organization, Bill Gates' pet organization, to force the world's populations to wear masks. The medical research says something quite different. How many people will die as a result of these policies? I have no idea, and nor has anyone else. I wonder how many other countries have been bribed. The aim is clearly to crash every economy in the world. And that, of course, is part of Agenda 21. Nothing that has happened to the world in the last 6 months has been an accident. Everything's been planned. Schools were deliberately closed so that children's education would be wrecked. Hospitals were shut so that people would die. Patients in care homes and nursing homes were killed by being deprived of medical and nursing care. Thousands died because they were denied food and water. Churches were closed to deprive people of spiritual comfort. All this, remembered, happened all around the world, in countries everywhere. Accidents? Hardly. They want your body, they want your mind, and they want your soul, and they want a good many of us dead. I'm afraid that until you understand that, you don't understand anything at all. I'm terrified by the number of people who still don't realize precisely what's happening. Everything that is happening was planned decades ago and is only now coming to fruition. Every strange planning decision was planned. The rows about gay marriage, transsexualism and black lives were all designed to cause chaos and confusion, to erase our history and to spread dissent. Even the introduction of bicycle lanes, bizarre street furniture and smart motorways were all part of the United Nations plan created decades ago because they want to get rid of the motor car. They want us all to live in smart cities. Regionalization, as promoted by the European Union, is a step towards globalization. The European Union itself became part of Agenda 21 some years ago. Jargon phrases such as new normal were invented over a decade ago. I could show them print. The plan all along has been to get rid of nationalities. Those patriots who wave their Scottish, Irish, English, American, whatever flags can say goodbye to those flags. There will soon be no nations. The leaders of Agenda 21 want us all living in small apartments. Have you ever wondered why local planning officers want to get rid of well-made old houses and replace them with poorly built, cramped apartments in tower blocks? It's all part of the Agenda 21 plan. Have you ever wondered why the EU pays big landowners to do nothing with their land, to grow nothing, to grow no food? Well, it's all part of the plan to force us to eat factory-made food. Bill Gates hasn't just invested in vaccines. He doesn't just control the World Health Organization. He has for a long time been dictating global food policy and has money invested in a company which makes fake meat. The deaths caused by the lockdowns and the closure of hospitals were all part of the plan. The world's billionaires decided some years ago that the world was overpopulated, so they want to kill a few billion of us. The closure of farms is part of the plan. They need many of us to starve to death. And I suspect most of those who die of starvation will probably be in Africa. Believing all this is not a conspiracy. We aren't conspirators. The conspirators are the people behind all this. It was no accident that elections were cancelled. It's no accident that some politicians are being demonised while others are lauded by the media. It's no accident that the media has betrayed us en masse, globally. The crime has been built upon the false threat of global warming. That was always part of the plan. The only conspiracy is the one leading towards a world government and a world church. In 1991, the Club of Rome published a book entitled The First Global Revolution, in which it admitted inventing climate change as a common enemy of mankind in order to unite the world. When I first mentioned that in a video I put on YouTube, the video was taken down very quickly. When I first mentioned the plan to unite all the world's churches into one religion, Chrislam, backed of course by war criminal Tony Blair, that video was taken down because it was on YouTube. This is the most evil, most carefully planned, most deadly conspiracy in human history. Senior officials at the United Nations have talked of a Luciferian initiation. The plan is wicked beyond belief. It's truly sickening. The people in charge regard us as disposable rubbish. Our governments have been bought. They have no respect for us. Common purpose drones do the dirty work and the billionaires build their wealth. In her brilliant and astonishing book, Behind the Green Mask, published in 2011, American Rosa Corey described how many of the things which have been damaging our way of life in Europe were already beginning to destroy American life. Energy-saving programs and the abandonment of fossil fuels were introduced to slowly force us into smart cities. Remaking roads to suit bicycles was a plan to stop us using motor cars and thereby force us into living in their smart cities. Do you ever wonder about smart motorways which created traffic jams and accidents? All that crazy road furniture, ever-reducing speed limits, higher and higher taxes on motor cars, all designed to stop us using cars and force us into tiny flats and ticky-tacky box houses. Everything to be conveniently blamed on climate change. It's all part of the plan. We're being told we have to cut carbon emissions to levels that were measured decades ago. But carbon emissions weren't measured in those distant days. The plans to replace local police forces with sneaks and snitches were put in place years ago. The aim was to create mistrust. Property inspections for houses and energy assessments were all devised to force us out of old-fashioned, well-built houses into badly built but profitable new tenement buildings. All those licenses and certificates we need, they were planned years ago to disrupt and force us into living in fear. They were designed to be expensive and disruptive. If you don't have the right license, then you can't work. And when you have one license, then you need another and another. All very expensive and fear-inducing. Immigration policies were devised as a deliberate, well-thought-out plot designed to disrupt society, break down nations, increase fear and create racism. Nothing is accidental. Do you remember reading that they were releasing wild animals such as wolves into the countryside? It sounded crazy, but it was all planned years ago. It's another part of forcing us to live in cities and away from the countryside. Do you enjoy playing sports such as football or golf? Forget it. the land used for such activities will be allowed to go back to wildland. Our food will be grown in factories, laboratories. Just check it out. Everything I'm telling you can be found online if you look hard enough. Do you think it's an accident that veganism has suddenly become popular? It isn't. They don't want us eating animals. It takes up too much time. It's a slow, messy process. They want us eating the food they're making in the laboratories. And some of it, of course, will look and taste like meat. Towns are growing to look the same, like hotel chains. Strong, old buildings, good to look at and full of character, are demolished to save the environment from their presence and us from the memories they harbour. They're replaced with buildings as ugly and as durable as cardboard boxes. Privacy is going shortly to be gone. Who wants privacy? What terrible secrets have you got to hide? Webcams, CCTV and social media have banished privacy, all part of the plan. We're tracked, traced and tested. We zoom in and out of each other's homes because we're told it's better that way. Better for whom? Better for the spies. When we chat through the internet, they can spy on us all the time. Another piece of our privacy gone. Only those with evil secrets need privacy, they say. So now they know everything about you, and your life is not yours anymore. Traditions are reviled because our history must be forgotten. Everything we may have thought of as great is an embarrassment. Our ancestors, they say, were all racists or worse. And so we bury ourselves in shame and obediently forget the people who came before. Our history will begin tomorrow, and they'll tell us what to believe and what to think. It's all been planned for decades. Look back at the United Nations plans published decades ago, and in your shock you'll recognise life as we've grown to know it, predicted in those now almost ancient documents. For weeks I've been studying papers and books published by the United Nations, the Global Economic Forum and many others, and I still find it difficult to believe what I'm reading. We're living in evil times. Everything was planned and forecast. Today, most people have absolutely no idea what's going on. They dutifully pick out their pretty masks, something to match their outfit for the day, and they set off to work or to go shopping or for a stroll in the park, and they feel quietly confident that their selfless actions and their thoughtful government will save them from the plague threatening their lives. These people are blind. They are sleepwalking to their deaths. They've been brainwashed by carefully organised psychological operations. Your government has admitted it wants you terrified. Incidentally, the transcript of my old video explaining how people have been brainwashed is on my website. The video is probably still around. And we have to wake up the sleeping millions. It's our only chance because they probably won't die of COVID-19, which is no worse than the flu, but they will slowly lose what's left of their freedom and their humanity, and then they will quietly walk into the deaths that have been prepared for them. Many will simply starve to death, and they will drag us with them. You and I have a huge responsibility. The end game has started. We must work fast. We're in the fight of our lives, for they want to kill many of us and enslave the rest. I can hardly believe I'm saying this, but I know it to be true. I've seen what they've written. And this is no time to mince words. The zombies are the weak and the easily led. They are the gullible and the simple-minded. They are the cowardly, not the brave, the followers, not the leaders. Many of you probably know exactly what's going on. Some of you probably got here before I did, but many remain shocked, and there is still some disbelief and some hope that all will be well in a month or two, but I'm afraid it won't be well in a month or two. It will never be well again unless we smash the new normal, deny the new world order, and reject the global reset. There isn't a single world leader we can trust. We're on our own. We are the resistance movement, an army of the people for the people. And we have the greatest of responsibilities. We have to save humanity from the evil forces. We can and we will win this war, but we all have to fight as we've never fought before. Videos, radio shows and demonstrations are important, vital even, but they're just the beginning. They're a great way to spread information, but alone they will never change anything. The danger is that we'll end up forever preaching to the converted. We watch, we listen, we shout, but it isn't enough. We have to spread the word. We have to show people what's happened. We have to help them understand the horror of what's being done to our world. We have to show them that nothing, nothing that's happened is an accident. It's all been deliberate. The unwoken must be encouraged to watch, to listen, and to read the truth. Remember, this may be a game for them, but it isn't a game for us. Our lives are at stake. Fighting this evil has been a job for us all. I've been spending 16 hours a day on this battle since March. I'm a writer, but I haven't written a word for money for months. I left books half written 6 months ago. This is now my job, and it needs to be your job too. You need to spend many hours a week fighting. You have to breathe resistance. You need to share videos and persuade people to listen to radio programs. Please go to my website and download forms to hand out. Get a local printer to make 1,000. Give leaflets to your neighbors. Talk to the masked and the ignorant. There are enough of us to make a difference. You'll annoy some people. They don't want to know. They'll find it frightening. They'll label you mad. You'll be described as a conspiracy theorist, a right-winger, far worse. Encouraged by the media, they'll try to demonize you and the truth. Because of the power held by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, they'll falsely condemn you as being anti-Semitic. The truth, I'm afraid, is that if you don't lose a few friends, then you probably won't be making a difference. Explain to people just how their lives are going to be changed as this plan unfolds. For example, Agenda 21 has no place in it at all for individual nations. Remember the regional parliaments the EU wanted to force upon the UK years ago through Tony Blair's government? Well, those regions and boundaries still exist in secret. They were rejected by the people, but they're still there. There are groups of men and women meeting in secret and running our lives. They're taking power away from local politicians. And the regions are the first step towards globalization. And regionalization is happening globally. Everything is happening everywhere. Nations, they'll soon be gone. For example, those fighting for Scottish independence should know that there will be no independence. In a very short time, there will be no flags, no nations, no anthems. There'll be one word, world, one flag, one anthem. This isn't George Orwell's 1984. This is real. He got it right, but he was 36 years early. Everything that has happened was meant to happen. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair, and thank you for all your support, encouragement and kind comments. It means a lot. Please copy and share the videos on Facebook and Twitter. Let's spread the truth. If you want to put on a translation, that would be great. This channel hasn't been monetized, nor will it ever be. This is a true public service channel. Please go to www.vernoncolman.com, where you can find transcripts, including transcripts of all the videos that were banned by YouTube. And there are many other articles too, and there are educational forms to print out and distribute to friends, neighbors, and strangers. The website has no ads and no sponsors, and I'll try and do more forms in the next few days. If you'd like to see more videos from me, then please to subscribe to my channel on Brand New Tube. If you visit mainstream media, please put on messages asking readers to watch these videos to find the truth. Put messages on items of news which don't have anything to do with the coronavirus and COVID-19. They're less likely to be deleted. In addition to continuing my video series and updating the website, I'm also appearing on the Richie Allen radio show every Monday at 5:30 p.m. Together, we'll walk the tightrope and try to provide some more information. So tune in and join me with Richie on Mondays at 5:30 UK time, when the old man in a chair becomes the old man on the wireless. Although it may feel like it at times, please remember that you're not alone. More and more people are waking up, and when they've woken up, they stay awake. Remember, together we will win this war. Distrust the government avoid mass media and fight the lies. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair.